Today we explore the submerged themes of terror and friendship in scenes that were entirely lost from the Lord of the Rings films. We will wander into the chapter A Conspiracy Unmasked from J.R.R. Tolkien's Fellowship of the Ring. Welcome to episode 154 of Lore of the Rings. I'm Aaron, your host and fellow Middle-earth wanderer. Now, let's wander.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Let's check the map. It is the third age of Middle-earth. Frodo, Sam, and Pippin are on the road heading to the east end of the Shire, where Frodo plans to leave his friends behind and head out into the wild with the ring. While on the road, they've barely survived several encounters with black riders. Farmer Maggot has offered rest, dinner, advice, and a ride to the ferry that crosses the river into Buckland. And their friend Merry has found them along the road. We are in Chapter 5 of Fellowship of the Ring, A Conspiracy Unmasked, and in my 2002 edition, we are exploring pages 96 through 100 today. And as always, make sure you hit that subscribe or follow button, leave a rating or review, and share this episode with your best friend. First, let me point out definitions to two unfamiliar words in this section of the chapter. At the dock of the ferry are white bollards. If you are a landlubber like myself, you may have never heard this word before. Bollards are the short, thick posts on a dock to which a ship can be tied. You may have also seen some on a road or sidewalk as a way of directing traffic. And as Merry assesses the damage done after the Hobbit's bath, he says, "Locks!" Perhaps I'm a silly American who simply doesn't speak the Queen's English, or the King's English now? I'm not sure on that one. But that was a new word for me. It is a simple expression of surprise or dismay. I'll give you a virtual high-five if you can use locks properly in the next 24 hours. Now, this chapter is entirely cut from Peter Jackson's films. That's a real tragedy, as I see it, because this chapter is a major development in one of the foundational key themes of Lord of the Rings, friendship. We'll explore how this theme is enriched a bit today, and a lot in the next episode. But before we do, I want to point out a missed opportunity for a truly horrific scene that could have been in the films. Frodo and friends have had several encounters with the mysterious black riders, everything from close calls to leave the road, to hearing their wailing communication cries, even to crawling and sniffling along the ground, as if these riders are not exactly men. As the company is leaving the ferry into Buckland, they look back at the far dock that they left behind, only moments before, and they see something that looks like, quote, a dark black bundle left behind. This bundle doesn't seem to have a clear form, as the darkness and the mist obscures their view. But even as they watch, this mysterious bundle begins, quote, to move and sway, as if searching the ground. It then crawled, or went crouching, back into the gloom. That would have been quite a creepy scene. As I've said before, I think the film writers did the best they could to keep the tension of the riders on the hobbits throughout the sequence. But this scene, as Tolkien wrote it, would have added chills to my spine. To see something that may or may not be human, which certainly can ride a horse like a human, yet doesn't move or act like a human. Yikes, that would have been stunning. And the way it crawls along the ground and back into the gloom, that's a nice setup to strike terror into an audience. But alas, we don't have that in the films, and it also misses another contrasting point, a symbolic baptism for one of the hobbits. As a Catholic, Tolkien was familiar with rites of baptism for Christianity, and I see in this chapter a symbolic baptism of a more literary kind. Sam, as I discussed a few episodes back, is changed. His motivations are different. Even in this small, yet terrifying jaunt through the Shire, he has already had life-changing experiences. And he knows his purpose is ahead of him, somewhere in deep darkness. And as they cross the river in the ferry, Sam is the only hobbit to never have been in Buckland before. Technically, Buckland is, apart from the Shire, quote, a sort of colony from the Shire. And so Sam is literally leaving his old life behind. But as Sam passes through the water of the river, quote, He had a strange feeling. His old life lay behind in the mists. Dark adventure lay in front. The symbolism of water is central to both Sam's crossing and the ritual of baptism. The crossing of the river is an outward manifestation of Sam's inward change, a change that is a call to a greater, grander adventure ahead, and leaving of his old life behind, much like baptism is in the Christian religious system. When baptized, your old life is behind you, and you now have the adventure of following the Christ. Water represents purification, rebirth, and the washing away of the old self. By crossing the river, Sam metaphorically sheds his former life, with its comforts and limitations, and embraces a new calling filled with uncertainty and adventure. This echoes the Christian understanding of baptism as a symbolic death to the old self and a rebirth into a life guided by faith and purpose. Also, just as baptism marks the beginning of a Christian's journey of discipleship, Sam's crossing of the river signifies the start of his role as a true companion to Frodo, and a key figure in the quest to save the Shire from the presence of the One Ring. His newfound courage, loyalty, and determination reflect the transformative power of commitment and sacrifice. Tolkien's masterful use of symbolism allows you and me, as readers, to engage with the narrative on multiple levels, inviting reflection on themes of faith, courage, and the journey of self-discovery. To me, Sam's crossing of the river, and its connotations of a new, changed life and purpose, are evidence of Tolkien's claim that The Lord of the Rings is fundamentally a religious work. Not so explicitly or overt, but more of a subtle and impressionist way of expressing worship. The clues are there if you look for them. Now, as I said before, the crossing of the river cements Sam not merely as a servant companion to Frodo on his quest, which is another common element of medieval literature that Tolkien was so fond of, but it marks a transformation for something deeper in Sam's role. He is now a key figure in the quest to save the Shire. In other words, Sam's friendship and loyalty to Frodo is taking a much deeper level. Sam's crossing of the river isn't the only time water is featured in this chapter. Later on, the hobbits will have the chance to take hot baths once they've reached their destination. And it wouldn't be a complete chapter if there wasn't a song. This chapter's song is in the context of the baths. Yes, hobbits sing as they bathe. Now, before you say that's weird, just admit to yourself that you've also sung in the shower, so don't blame the hobbits. But what I find amusing is that Pippin is singing a song that is, quote, one of Bilbo's favorite bath songs. So these hobbits have so many songs for bathing that they could choose multiple favorites above all the rest. That seems a tad excessive. Regardless, this song is a charming one that mostly describes hot water and what a noble thing it is. But there's a little something in there that fits with Tolkien's literary philosophy, and that is a reverence for beauty's sake. Indeed, good things have an inherent beauty about them, and things that are naturally beautiful are inherently good. Take the first and third verses, which describe the beauty of water in its utility to wash, quench thirst, and relax an aching back. Then, the second and last verses, these each in turn describe the beauty of water as it is heard and seen. But the beauty and utility are intertwined. Indeed, for its good uses and beautiful nature, quote, water hot is a noble thing. Water aside, we have some more wandering into the theme of friendship to do in this chapter. We'll get to that right after this break. We're not done yet. If you like this episode, please leave a review and share with your friends. And remember to subscribe if you haven't already. We'll be right back.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Are you ready to dive deeper into Tolkien's world? If you've ever struggled to read The Silmarillion, I've got just the thing for you. I've created a free guide packed with my best tips to help you conquer this epic book. Whether you're a seasoned reader or tackling it for the first time, this guide will make your journey through the first age of Middle-earth more rewarding than ever. Head over to ringspodcast.com to download your free guide today. Your adventure deeper into Middle-earth starts now. Visit ringspodcast.com today for your free guide. As Frodo grapples with the weight of leaving his friends behind, a flicker of warmth awaits at Crick Hollow's door. But what does this simple gesture reveal about the depth of friendship in Tolkien's world? Beyond Sam's deeper role as a friend to Frodo, this chapter also expounds on the theme of friendship that we've seen before. As a reminder, both Gandalf and Gildor advised Frodo to take friends that could be trusted and were willing to go with him out of the Shire. At this point, though, Frodo feels like he cannot put any of his friends into that level of danger, a decision clearly influenced by all the near misses with the dangerous Black Riders. In fact, the main conflict of this chapter is Frodo's dread at having to tell his friends that he is leaving them and the Shire behind. Quote, "It seemed unfair to have put his friends to all this trouble, and he wondered again how he was going to break the news to them that he must leave them so soon, indeed at once." After the three traveling hobbits knock on the door at Crick Hollow, quote, "A friendly light streamed out," and notice the words that Tolkien uses to explain how Frodo feels when he sees that his friends, Fatty and Merry, have tried to put the furniture back in the places they were in at Bag End. Quote, "pleasant, comfortable, and welcoming." Clearly, Fatty Bulger and Merry Brandybuck were deep friends with Frodo, so much so that they knew how to arrange his furniture in order for him to feel at home and comfortable. And look at the discussion about taking baths. Frodo asks what order they should go in, and that Pippin will be last either way. But Merry, ever the good and thoughtful friend, already has a plan so that they don't, quote, "begin life at Crick Hollow with a quarrel over baths." Fatty and Merry have gone over the top, preparing enough hot water for 3 full tubs, and preparing a second supper beyond that. Friendship emerges as a cornerstone theme in this chapter, intricately woven into the fabric of Frodo's journey. Despite the looming dangers and the burden of the quest, the bonds of friendship endure, offering solace and support in times of uncertainty. Gandalf and Gildor's counsel on the importance of trustworthy companions resonates deeply as Frodo wrestles with the decision to leave his friends behind. Yet, in his reluctance to involve them in the perilous journey, Frodo's concern for their safety underscores the depth of his friendship and his desire to shield them from harm. These little details of Frodo's interactions with his friends reveal the nuances of their relationships, from the meticulous arrangement of furniture to the thoughtful consideration of bathing arrangements. Merry and Fatty's gestures speak volumes about the extent of their friendship with Frodo. Their efforts to create a sense of familiarity and comfort at Crick Hollow reflect not only their affection for Frodo, but also their unwavering commitment to his well-being. In a world fraught with darkness and uncertainty, these acts of friendship serve as beacons of light, illuminating the path forward and reaffirming the power of camaraderie amidst adversity. Now, let's contrast the depth of this theme as written to its portrayal in the films. As I've mentioned several times before, this chapter is smack dab in the middle of 6 chapters that are nearly entirely cut from the films. Crick Hollow and Fatty Bulger don't even get to make an appearance in the films. But the greater tragedy of what is missing is that Merry and Pippin were deep friends with Frodo, so deep that they could anticipate his needs and even his plans. And we'll get to that next time. They weren't simply thieving hobbits who bumped into Frodo on his way to the ferry. Indeed, they fit Gandalf's description perfectly, trustworthy, and willing to follow Frodo from peril into peril. Join me in the next episode, where we will see the theme of friendship come full circle for Frodo, and uncover a plot that shows that hobbits might be more devious than we originally believed. Thank you for wandering Middle-earth with me today. My friends, if you enjoyed this episode, let me know by subscribing, leaving a review, and sharing with your friends. Follow me on Facebook or Instagram at Lore of the Rings Podcast. For feedback on the show, please email me using the link in the show notes. Until next Thursday, remember, not all those who wander are lost.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Are you ready to dive deeper into Tolkien's world? If you've ever struggled to read The Silmarillion, I've got just the thing for you. I've created a free guide packed with my best tips to help you conquer this epic book. Whether you're a seasoned reader or tackling it for the first time, this guide will make your journey through the first age of Middle-earth more rewarding than ever. Head over to ringspodcast.com to download your free guide today. Your adventure deeper into Middle-earth starts now. Visit ringspodcast.com today for your free guide.